Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Matthew. From chapter 17, we will read verses 1 through 9. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1400. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Matthew 17. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While Peter was still speaking, behold, a white, bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Who do you say that I am? Jesus asked his disciples that question. It wasn't a rhetorical question. That day it was to be answered by the disciples. It is a question to be answered by everyone since. Did the disciples glance at one another? Did they stare at their feet or look off into the clouds? Right before them, Jesus asked, Who do men say that I am? They were quick with answers. Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Sometimes it's easier to know what others say than take a stand ourselves. What matters to our soul is what we say. Well, Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said that Simon Peter could not have known this by his own thoughts or what others said to him, but because it had been revealed to him by God the Father in heaven. So Jesus commanded his disciples not to reveal this yet to anyone, that he is Jesus the Christ. Jesus began to talk about how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and be killed and raised the third day. Well, Peter took Jesus aside and he began to rebuke Jesus, saying, Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. I imagine Peter was stunned. With one set of words from his mouth, Peter revealed that Jesus is the Christ, which Jesus said was a revelation from God, the Father in heaven. With another set of words from Peter's mouth, Jesus said that Peter was echoing words from the lips of Satan. Jesus began to explain to his disciples that anyone who wants to be his disciple must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Jesus. The path of following Jesus is not the road of glory on earth, but the willingness to die on earth. Jesus issues a hopeful promise. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The next words in Scripture are those which we read this morning. Now, after 6 days, 6 days after Jesus made this statement, then he took Peter, James, and John up on a high mountain by themselves. Jesus had many followers, had men and women and children. He had men and women who supported his ministry. He had 70 disciples that he sent out 2 by 2 to proclaim that the good news of salvation came through Jesus. He had 12 disciples who journeyed with him, and he taught them and explained his teachings to them. Out of those 12, Jesus chose Peter, James, and John that day to go with him high up on a mountain. Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. The word transfigured means that a change took place. It becomes something different. Jesus was transformed. This is reminiscent of the Old Testament glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, which led the Israelites by night with a pillar of fire and by day with a cloud. And it shone on Moses' face after he'd been with God on Mount Sinai. And it came into the temple, which was built by King Solomon. It's a light so dazzling that it can hardly be withstood. It's the presence of God shown in a powerful way. Jesus had been on earth for a little over 30 years and had been doing ministry for several years in appearance as an ordinary man. In the Upper Room Disciplines for 2003, Kristen Ingram writes about the time that she took Maria, her friend's 5-year-old daughter, to see her mother dance for the first time. Maria had seen her mother practice in their home, and she had even visited rehearsal a couple of times, but she had never viewed her mother in a performance. Maria's mother was dancing the lead in Swan Lake. Well, Kristen and Maria waited in anticipation in their box seats, and with the scenery and the orchestra music setting the mood, Maria's mom danced on stage in a cloud of white tulle, and she was dancing on the toes of her silken shoes with a blue spotlight following her everywhere that she went. Maria gasped. She stood up holding to the edge of the balcony, and she breathed. "Will she still be my mommy?" Some people chuckled, and a few in the orchestra pit below, they looked up smiling. But Maria wasn't laughing. She was awed, and she was close to terror at the sight of her transformed mother. It's hard to imagine this transformed person, this presence on stage, just fixing your cereal and giving you baths and cuddling her close as you read books to her. Well, Peter, James, and John experienced the startling, awesome, glorious transformation of their traveling companion and teacher. Jesus, the humble man who had shared their bread and water and walked the dusty roads with them. Jesus, the teacher who patiently taught them about the kingdom of God, became an awesome presence. They, too, had been prepared. They had seen the glory of God in miracles. There was the healing of the sick, the paralyzed, the blind, the deaf, the mute, a dead girl brought back to life, demons cast out and thousands fed, their master walking on water and even calming stormy seas. They had begun to recognize their master as the expected Messiah, the Christ. Still, nothing totally prepares you for beholding the glory of God. They might have gasped, "Will he still be our master?" Behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to the disciples talking with Jesus. Moses, the one to whom God had given the old covenant laws, he's credited with writing the first 5 books of the Old Testament. Moses, who met with God on Mount Sinai and came back with his face glowing. Moses, who walked to the mountain to view the promised land. He never returned and, according to Scripture, was buried by God. And then Elijah, the great defender of the law, he challenged 450 of the prophets of Baal, and God rained down fire and consumed the sacrifice prepared by Elijah. One day, Elijah was whisked away into heaven by God and was seen no more. 2 heroes of the faith talking with Jesus. We don't know what was said, but Luke's account in 9:31 says that they were talking with Jesus about Jesus' upcoming death. It eases my mind to know that when walking through the valley of the shadow of death, even the Son of God is strengthened in faith with the witness of others. Well, Peter jumped into the conversation, saying to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." In his commentary on Matthew, John MacArthur writes, "New Testament scholars have determined that the Jewish month in which the transfiguration took place was October. This was 6 months before Passover, and therefore 6 months before Jesus' crucifixion. Instruction from God to Moses had set the 6 months before Passover for the Feast of Tabernacle. For 7 days, they lived in small shelters made of tree branches. They remembered the temporary dwellings of their forefathers in the wilderness. Was Peter wishing to stay for 7 days or forever? The prophet Zechariah says that one day all will worship the Lord of hosts and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. While Peter was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." God the Father encouraging his Son, letting Jesus know, "I am well pleased in you." And God the Father encouraging us to listen to Jesus, hear him. We are being transformed in our ongoing relationship with Jesus. We are to become more and more like Jesus. He transforms us principally in 2 ways, by being with us and serving as a model. and How People Grow, Drs. Cloud and Townsend discuss the principles of Jesus being with us and in us, and also is serving as a model. Jesus is with us. Jesus has gone to be with the Father, but he also lives in the heart of every believer. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus promised, "I'm surely with you always, even to the end of the age." And then Ephesians 3:17 says that Jesus lives inside each of us so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So in the Old Testament, God resided in the temple. Now people are the temple. With Jesus, we have a personal living connection with God. For transformation, it's necessary that the first principle is the first in process. The second principles of Jesus serving as a model and showing us how to live, it cannot be followed without first we have that ongoing relationship with Christ. So once we have Christ, Jesus, in our hearts, we've received him as our Lord and Savior, the second way is we can look at how Christ lived his life. And serving as a model, Jesus shows us how God wants us to live. He gives us a personal, human example that we can see and internalize. We have a living, breathing picture of how God wants us to live. Now, some of the things that Jesus modeled for us is dependence. Jesus was dependent upon God and also people. He taught us how to ask God for our daily bread. He also showed us how to invite our friends for our experiences, those that are joyful and also those that are painful. Jesus also showed us an example of humility. In Jesus, we see an humble way of living. Jesus could have rightly claimed his divinity and avoided all that he went through. Instead, he became a servant, serving and suffering for others. Another thing that Jesus modeled for us was self-control. Jesus did not allow others to control his beliefs or his actions. He did not allow others to change his values or his direction in life. He completed the task that the Father had given him. Jesus also gave us an example of authority over evil. Jesus did not deny the existence of evil or the devil. He knew about sin, yet he did not approve of sin. He did not participate in it, and he acted against it. In our battle with temptation and our struggle with spiritual beings, we recognize the power of the devil, but we resist with the authoritative power of Jesus. Another example that Jesus gave us is to love and forgive. Jesus showed us how to love and forgive rather than retaliate. This does not mean that we cannot protect ourselves from hurt or remove ourselves from painful situations. But it does mean that we are called not to retaliate or to take revenge, but to make peace, which is a higher calling. Now, there are certainly other examples that we could cite, and there may be some that God is showing you personally in your own life. To become more and more like Jesus, we must be willing to move forward with God. In our daily bread for February the 6th, Kirsten Holmbrook wrote, "In 1848, engineer Charles Ellet Jr., he puzzled over how to begin the process of constructing the first bridge to go over the Niagara Falls Gorge. How would they get a cable across the river? Well, prompted by a dream, Charles decided to host a kite flying contest. American teenager Homan Walsh won $5 when his kite landed on the American side. Homan's kite string was secured to a tree, and then it was used to first pull a light cord back across the river. Then progressively heavier cords were used until heavy wire cable was in place. This was the small beginning of the construction of the Niagara Falls Suspension Bridge." In the Old Testament book of Zechariah, Israelites who had returned from 70 years of captivity in Babylon, they're rebuilding the temple. But some who had seen the temple, the glorious temple in King Solomon, they were fearful that this rebuilt temple would just pale in comparison. An angel of the Lord was sent to encourage the people that it would all be accomplished by God's Spirit. Zechariah 4:6, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." And also, Zechariah 4:10 encourages, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came, for who has despised the day of small things?" The day of small things, the day of small beginnings. God began the transformation when we received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. If we'll stay connected to Jesus, little by little and stronger by stronger, the Spirit of God will transform us until we are more like Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty God, transform us until we shine forth with your glory in our world. In Jesus' name, amen.